So it is a really special Sunday. You might have noticed I have lots of my family here. So my sister Alicia and her husband Chris are here, and they've got their little baby boy Benjamin. He's downstairs with Vicky, and my dad is here, and another one on the way as well. I didn't know if I was supposed to say that out loud, but when Papa says you can, you can. So, and another one on the way. So pretty exciting, and they're in from the States, so they live in Colorado. You guys have heard me tell stories of being in Alaska, and they just moved from Alaska, and they've been a little sad to be in Colorado because they love Alaska. And I see all the mountains in Colorado. I'm like, it's not that bad. So, so just make sure. So say hi to them, greet them, and the adoption. And most of you've been kind of involved a little bit in the journey with Henry. So we were able to officially adopt Henry on Friday. Yeah. Yeah. It was incredible. It felt surreal to be in the courtroom because it's been a 4.5-year journey with Henry, and we've had lots of twists and turns and like scenic routes, and so I've envisioned it as like a drive where you're driving along and then you take this really long scenic route and then you come back and you kind of are where you left the path to begin with. And so anyway, it's been a 4.5-year journey. But it was really neat, and you need to know this, because I didn't anticipate this in the courtroom, but there's a really cool spiritual parallel. But when the judge was declaring Henry officially adopted, she mentioned it twice during the court proceeding. She said, this is the most definite, this is the most final judgment that I ever make as a judge. So when I say he is Henry Daniel Birkenshire Maskery, it is final, it's definite, there's no going back on that. It's a done deal. And so when a judge makes other pronouncements, sometimes those things can be annulled or like gone back on, but this was very definite. And so I just couldn't think of I couldn't help but think about the spiritual parallel, because the scriptures talk about our adoption with God. And when we are his, we belong to him. And the scriptures say nobody can change that. And there's this incredible peace that comes. And so it was really neat, just in an earthly kind of experience, to see that with Henry. And then one more funny story, and we're going to celebrate when we have our potluck today. I think there's a cake to celebrate Henry coming into the family officially, even though he's been part of it for a long time. But the judge actually included our whole family in this. And so she had Vicky and I stand up, and we had to, kind of like at a wedding ceremony, we had to vow to be good role models and provide a loving home. But then she had the rest of our kids stand up, so the rest of the five of them, separate. So Vicky and I sat down, and the five other kids stood up, and they asked questions like, "Do you promise to be good role models for Henry?" And anyway, and then she even asked, she said, "And do you promise to share your toys with Henry?" And so Randall, who's only 6 months older, he was like, "Yes, I do," because he went along with the whole thing, right? And so now, like, for the rest of his life, like, we get to use that and be like, you could go to jail if you don't share that, like, that toy car, right? So, anyway, I didn't expect that at court, but it was really cool, and it was a really special moment. And so, and thank you. A lot of you have been praying all the way through this process, and we really appreciate your prayer with that. So this is a special Sunday. If you didn't know why today was a special Sunday, and maybe you just came because you were wanting to check church out, I still believe God is going to speak some things to your heart today. My prayer is that you'll hear Jesus and that your heart will be encouraged. But I'm making an announcement today that we've been talking about for the past month and a half or so. And I just want to say to start out, I was telling a couple people before we started, I felt really nervous today. And I've been preaching here for like 7 years. And this is a unique day for me. I felt really nervous to be here and to share with you what I'm going to share. But I also have a real sense of confidence about what I'm going to share. I have a real sense of having heard the Lord's voice, and so I'm excited to share that with you. But on a human side, I just want you to know there's parts of this that are just, it's just challenging to share these things with you. And so what I want to do is I just want to pray, because maybe you're here today and you're just wrestling with what you believe about God, and I want to pray that you'll hear Jesus today in some way. And maybe you're here because you've been a part of TC for many years, and you're kind of anticipating what we're going to talk about. And I'm going to pray that all of us collectively, we just hear God and that we can be confident that he leads us and he's who we follow. And so let's just pray and I'll jump in. Lord, I just thank you that we get to come to you. I thank you, Lord, that as a community and as a gathering of people, we put you first. We seek to hear your voice. We seek to follow your lead. And I just pray, Lord, that as we look into the scriptures today and as we talk about some things regarding the present and the future and what all that's going to look like, I pray that we would hear you today, Lord. I pray that we'd be led by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that the scriptures tell us that there's no place we can go to escape you. You're everywhere, so you're here. But there are places where you're more welcome, and we want to say that you're welcome here. We ask that you would lead us, that you would guide, and that we would hear you today. We look to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So before I jump in, I want to read, and I put this in the email that went out on Friday, and I encouraged us to read John, at the end of John chapter 1, Jesus is calling a few of his disciples, and I'm going to refer to this story as I share with you some of the things that are on my heart, but this story in particular that we're going to focus on is a really powerful place to go in Scripture when you're just asking the question, what does it look like to hear Jesus' voice? And I don't know, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I don't know where you're at, but I'll bet you all of us in this room at some point, even if you're not a believer in God, have just wanted to hear God's voice when you're wrestling through a difficult decision. Probably all of us. You know, and I hear things, even from people that aren't followers of Jesus. They're not people who necessarily follow God. But when they're looking for clarity, it's like they want a sign from the skies or they want to hear something. And what people are longing for is just to hear God. Because we know there is one who's wiser. We know there is one who knows the answer. And to hear him is to have clarity. You know, if you knew that you knew that you'd heard God on something, it would give you an incredible sense of clarity moving forward. And so this passage of scripture where Jesus has a conversation with a guy named Nathanael is one that's been really impactful for me in my journey with Jesus. And so we're going to go to John chapter 1, starting in verse 43. And this will be on the screen. You can follow along. Or if you want to read from your Bible in front of you, you can do that. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come, follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth," exclaimed Nathanael. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. Now, before I read the next part of this, Nathanael is being brought to Jesus, and there's a few people. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. They've heard Jesus teach. They've seen him do some significant things, and they start thinking, this is the guy that the Old Testament prophesied about. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. This is the guy that's going to save Israel. And so there's that rumbling that's happening in the crowd. But then you've got some skeptics that are like, "Nah, I don't think so. I'd have to see it to believe it. I don't even know if I believe all that stuff anyway." You know, they're kind of skeptical. And so there's disagreement over who Jesus is. And so Nathanael's friends, they've gone, they've heard Jesus, they've seen him, and they come back to Nathanael, and they're like, "Nathanael, you know the guy that the Old Testament, that the prophets prophesied about, that Moses spoke about, that would one day save Israel, would redeem Israel? We found him," right? And he's kind of skeptical, and they're you know, trying to convince him, and they say, just come see Jesus. So he agrees to go with them. "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. Verse 47, and what Jesus says to Nathanael, I can't find another place in the scriptures quite like it, where Jesus pays somebody such a high compliment. It is incredibly high compliment. Verse 47 says, as they approached Jesus, Jesus said, "Now, here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." Which is an incredible thing that Jesus says about Nathanael. So Nathanael replies, "How do you know about me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "I tell you the truth, you will all see heaven open and the angels of God coming down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth." So it's really significant in this story. Nathanael is not somebody we know a whole lot about. There's only one other mention of Nathanael in the whole New Testament, and it's at the end of the book of John when Jesus is showing up to a group of his disciples after his resurrection. Nathanael's name is listed there. So whenever the list of names of 12 disciples get listed, Nathanael's not on that list. Some people think he might have been one of the 12 and that his name was Bartholomew and that he also went by Nathanael, but there's no evidence of that. The one time Nathanael is mentioned is in this passage here and then at the very end of the book of John. But he has this encounter, so he shows up, and Jesus looks at him and he says, "You have, like, you're a man of no guile," some translations say. "You're a man of complete integrity." And so Nathanael is taken aback, and he goes, "How do you know anything about me?" And so I have this, like, I imagine that Nathanael, he's this person who truly longs for God. He truly has a desire to see God do what God promised he would do. He's somebody who prays on a regular basis. He looks for God. He listens for God. And so Jesus sees him, and he says, "You're a man of complete integrity." And he's taken aback, and he's like, "How do you know that?" And then Jesus says this really weird thing. He says, "I saw you under the fig tree." And for whatever reason, that was convincing for Nathanael. He's like, "You must be God." Like, does that make sense to you, or does that seem a little strange, right? Because how does he go from being this skeptic? He's like, you know, not sure whether he believes Jesus, doesn't know that he believes all the prophecies, and so he's kind of skeptical, but he decides to go along with his friends. And then Jesus just says, "I saw you under the fig tree," and all of a sudden he drops to his knees like, "You must be God," right? What happened there? Like, how did he go from this skeptical person to all of a sudden he drops to his knees and he just says, you are the Son of God. You are the one they prophesied about. So something was happening under the fig tree. And my question to you, like, is there a place that you go that maybe nobody knows about or it's really personal to you? And whenever you just need to be alone with yourself or your thoughts, and maybe it's a place that you cry or you pour your heart out to God. Maybe you're not a believer. Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus. But is there a place you go? Is there some, spot in this world that you go and you just kind of vent your heart out, right? Something happened under that fig tree. And so when Jesus looks at Nathanael, he says, "I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael automatically, it was like he was brought back to these moments, these times that he had spent with God where he just poured his heart out. And so as soon as Jesus said something about it, it touched a deep part within his heart. And he knew in that moment, God had seen him. God had heard his prayers. God had seen him. And he was talking to him face to face. He was talking to Jesus. Like, it just transformed him. It changed him. You know, I can't tell you whether or not Nathanael is actually Bartholomew and goes by a different name, like some people have suggested. But I kind of like that this is the one time Nathanael is mentioned. Because sometimes people get this idea, we study the life of Jesus and the apostles, and we're like, oh, Jesus had these 12 people he was close to, and then there was Peter, James, and John, who he was even closer to. But the scripture gives us tons of evidence of people like Nathanael, people like Lazarus, people like Mary, who aren't a part of the 12, but they had this intimate connection with Jesus. You know, the whole book of John, that nowhere in the entire book of John does it say who the author is. Most people have settled on that it's John, but there's actually not concrete evidence for that. But the book of John, actually, the author calls himself the disciple that Jesus loved. Do you know that? I mean, I've always thought it'd be funny, like, what the other people thought, where they're like, he's writing about himself. He's like, oh, I'm the one Jesus loved. But there's no actual mention of who the author is. And so I had a professor in Bible school who pointed out, he said he thinks it's intentional because all of us, if we've surrendered our lives to Christ, if we've received him, we are the disciple Jesus loved. So the fact that it's not mentioned in John who the disciple that Jesus loved is could be intentional just to give us this message that followers of Christ were seen by God. So maybe you're not one of the 12, maybe you're not one of the 3, but you're seen by God and that you can have these incredible encounters with him. He is so good. So I wanted to start with that. And before I tell the story, Vicky and I have made the decision that we are going to accept this position in Halifax. And I didn't want to beat around the bush with that. I wanted to say that before I tell you the story. And I also want to tell you, this has probably been the hardest decision that I've ever made. I am going to get through this without crying. This has been the hardest decision that I've ever made, and that Vicky and I have ever made together as a couple, and that our family has ever had to make. It has been an incredibly challenging season. And I want to tell you the story about how this decision is made, because I believe with all my heart that God has spoken and God has made it clear, which is the only reason why we've been able to have a sense of peace with this. And it's also the only reason why we were actually able to make a decision. Back in early January, I was asked if I would consider having a conversation with a church on the East Coast that was recently, the pastoral office was left vacant and they were looking for a pastor. And I was asked if I'd have a conversation. And we were not looking to move. I had heard that this church was looking for a pastor, just like I have over the years of various churches. We were not looking to move away from Thunder Bay. When I heard about it, I was like, well, we're here. The Lord's called us to be in Thunder Bay, and we're not looking to move on. But I told them, I said, well, just give me some time to think about whether or not I'm willing to even have a conversation. And so that night, Vicky and I were talking, and I hardly slept, and I just had this real sense that I had to have a conversation with them like they asked, and so we did. And it was a good conversation, and it just felt like, you know, there was a peace about having the conversation, and so we were just waiting on next steps and waiting to see what to do. And in the meantime, we kept getting these, like, affirmations. We just had this real sense of peace that what was going on in Halifax, the conversations that were happening here, that it was blessed by the Lord. There was these green lights. There were these affirmations along the way. But we didn't. But it was nothing that felt definite. But one of the things that happened is that when we agreed that we would meet with the board for an actual interview, they chose the date. I think it was January 26th that they asked if we could meet. And what was crazy was that I was already scheduled to be in New Brunswick to speak at the Bible school that I studied at. And so I was speaking that morning, and then I had the night off, and I was flying out the next day. And I said, of all the days you could have chosen in like a two-year radius, like, this is the one that you chose. And so I said, I could actually be there in person. And so we went, we met with them, and we had a really good time. It was a good conversation. But even then, it was like, I had this peace, I had this excitement, but then I would come home and be with all of you and be here in Thunder Bay and be like, I just don't know. I don't know this is the right season. I don't know this is the right time. And consistently, one of the things people have said to me here was, Nathan, we don't want to get in the way of what God is doing. We just don't know if Transformation Church is ready for you to move on. And I had the same sense. I was like, I don't know if Transformation Church is ready. I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if our family's ready. And so we were really back and forth. And when the conversation started to get a little bit more serious in Halifax, I remember telling them very clearly. I said, I was talking to the guy who's the kind of the vice chairman of the board there, and I said, you know, I don't have anything in me that's pushing to get this position. And so I'll have conversations with you, but I'm just going to be myself, and I'm not going to try to impress anybody. I'm not trying to get this position. If you guys feel like you're going to choose somebody else, then please choose somebody else, because we'll continue doing what we're doing in Thunder Bay, and we know God has got some really good things in store for Thunder Bay, for Transformation Church, and we'll just keep trucking on the way we're trucking on here. And that sounded good to him, and so we kept having conversations, but things kept getting more and more serious, and the board called me back about a month and a half ago and said, we've voted to make you the sole candidate for the next pastor position at Deepwater. And so that was a really half exciting, then also not exciting statement for us to receive from the board. And I was just about to go to Florida for a church planting conference. And so this is the part of the story I just want you to really, if you've checked out, I want you to check in for a second, okay? We're just about to go to Florida for, this is the church planting conference, and I've gone there a few times in the past. I've talked to you about it. It's called Exponential. It's a church planting conference for church planters. It's always a hard sell with my family. I got to really convince them that I'm actually going there to work because it's Florida. Mal's like, sure, Dad. Yeah, because I did get to play golf while I was there as well. but it was a work trip. And so I was getting ready to go on this trip, and things were getting really serious in Halifax. And back in the fall, my friend who was also coming to Florida, he's got friends that own property in Orlando. And so he had a free place for us to stay. So after the conference was done, I was able to stay for a few extra days to hang out with this friend. We had a free place to stay, and we were going to go golfing and hang out, right? And so I knew that that was all coming up. And so I was in Florida, and I got the actual offer from the church in Halifax. And I was reading down through it, and I don't know what it was, if it's the people here in Thunder Bay, if it's mine and Vicky's back and forth, but I just started losing confidence that we were supposed to go. Like, I was at, even though our trip to Halifax was booked, so we went to Halifax a couple weeks ago, this was after Florida, I knew that was booked. I told Vicky and I told my friend that I was with while I was in Florida, I said, I think I'm just going to say no. Like, I think I'm going to say no to moving to Halifax. Like, I don't have enough of a definite sense from God that this is what we're supposed to do. And so I left these people's house that I was staying with in Florida. So it was a Saturday night, and it's a retired couple. They snowbird down there. That's why they have a place. And I left, and I went for a walk, and I was begging God. Like one of those, I don't know if you've had prayer times like this, but I was like, God, you need to speak. Like, I need to know, like, if we're going to make a decision this big, I need to know it's you. Because if not, I think I'm just going to stay in Thunder Bay. Like, you haven't made it clear that we're supposed to go, and I need to know that. I need that definite kind of an answer. And so I'm out walking, and I'm like mad, and I'm praying, and then I even emailed the church in Halifax back an email that, like, I kind of apologized for later because I felt like it was a bit curt for me. Like, I'm not usually, you know me, I'm pretty soft, and I felt like my response was a bit curt because I was just in this really frustrated state where I was like, I don't know what to do, and God's not speaking, right? You ever felt like that where you're like, God's not speaking? I'm trying to figure out what he wants me to do, and I just don't feel like I'm hearing from him. And so that was a Saturday night, and Sunday morning, the people we were staying with, there's this church they go to when they're in Florida, and they'd been asking us to go. And I didn't really want to go to that church specifically. There was another church that I really wanted to go check out. But because we were staying with this couple, I thought, well, we should honor their request. They're letting us stay in their house, and so we'll go with them to this church. And so the church we went to, it was a big church. They have three services, and we went to the middle service. And so it was like, I think it was like a 10 o'clock service, and they had another service coming up. And we get in there, and it was a good service, and the pastor preached a good sermon, but there was nothing in there that I felt like God spoke to me about. And then the pastor ended his sermon, and he invited people to come up for prayer. And so my friend who's with me, and you got to know, he's been journeying with me through this whole process, and he wants me to hear from God. He's standing there in worship, and he's like, Nay, you should go up for prayer. Maybe somebody will pray, and they'll give you a word or something. And I was like, nah, I don't want to do that. And so he's like, okay. And so he literally, it was like 30 seconds later, he nudged me again. And he was like, Nay, he's like, you should, like, go up there. He's like, maybe God will speak to you. You're begging him to talk to you. Like, maybe somebody that doesn't know you will say something. And I looked at him, I was like, Jay, I don't feel like going up. If God wanted me to go, and if he put it on my heart, I'd go, right? And he was like, whatever. So we sat there and went through the rest of the service. And then the service came to an end, and the lady we're staying with, she's like a 75-year-old woman, and she's really spunky. And if she says something, you do what she says. Okay, that's her personality. Her name is Linda. And so we were standing there at the and she looked at me like down the aisle, and I thought she was going to say it's time to go, and she goes, Nathan. She's like, you go down there and meet the pastor. And I was like, okay, Linda, right? So, and just at this point in the story, it's important you know, like, I asked her afterwards, did the pastor know that I was there? Did you say anything to him? And she had not. Like, nobody knew that we were in the room that day. She just, for whatever reason, was like, go down there and meet him. So I was like, so I ran, and it's this big church, so I'm like running down the amphitheater style stairs, and the pastor was coming off the stage, and he was going out the side door, and he has this like green room. We don't have one of those here, by the way, but like it's like bubbly in there and nice couches and stuff. Between services, they go in there and pray. So I almost missed him, but I just caught his hand, and I grabbed his hand, and And I said, hey, I just, you know, a pastor from Canada, I just wanted you to know I'm grateful that, you know, you guys have this church here and you've impacted some friends of ours. And he was like, oh, I can't quite hear you. And he pulled me into his green room. And so I'm sitting in his green room trying to get out of his hair because I knew that he had another service coming up and there's a lot of stuff going on. And he just kept asking me, you know, like, well, you know, where are you from? And I told him, you know, Canada, and I pastor a church. And then my friend who was with me, he came barging into the green room. And I said, oh, that's my buddy. And so the pastor said, oh, come on in. So he sits us both down on the couch. And no word of a lie, you could tell we were in the States. And my brother-in-law and sister will appreciate this. But like, open carry is a thing there. And I didn't see a gun on him, but this head deacon came in because he saw these two young guys like mob the pastor, right, in the green room. So the head deacon comes in and he like pokes his head in the room. And I had my imagination running. I had his, like, I figured he had his hand like on his gun or something, right? Like, I didn't see one, but he like pokes his head. He's like, pastor, are you okay? And the pastor was like, yeah, it's fine, right? So he sent the guy out. And so my friend Jason and I are both like, they're busy. Like, we got to get out of this place and let him get ready for his next service. And he said, no, like, just sit here. And he said, what kind of a denomination are you guys a part of? And we said, well, we're Wesleyan. He said, do you guys believe in spiritual gifts? And Jason and I both said, yeah, we do. And then he looked right at me and he said, do you believe in prophecy? And I said, yeah, I believe in prophecy. And then he goes, I have a word for you. And I was like, okay, well, great. And at this point, I wasn't feeling anything crazy because, like, he didn't know me. We weren't even supposed to be in this room. We weren't supposed to meet. It felt like a chance meeting, like I just barely caught him, right? And I said, go ahead, you can say whatever you want. And then he paused, he leaned back, and he goes, you're going to want to record this. I was like, record? All right. So my friend, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to record it. And my friend Jason, he pulled out his phone and on his voice memo, and he hit record. And he, no word of a lie, this was just blew me away. And I don't know what you believe about prophecy and these kinds of things, but I'm just telling the story as it happened. Like, there's no other way to tell the story than what happened. He put his hand on my shoulder and he said, Lord, I just want to pray for my brother. My brother is in a season of transition and he's thinking of not going, but your word to him is that it is time to go. And then he went on for 5.5 minutes of like a prayer where he's like, I felt like what Nathaniel would have felt like. I felt like the guy read my email. Like, the stuff that he was praying into, the stuff that he was saying, I was going, there's just no way anybody would know the stuff that he knew. It was just such a specific word and prophecy. And so this went on for about 5.5 minutes, and you can actually hear me in the recording, because I just started crying. Like, I was emotional. I couldn't talk afterwards. I tried to explain to this guy the significance of what he'd just prayed into, and I could hardly get the words out. By the time he was ready to pray for my friend, we stopped the recording and started it. And I said to him at the beginning of my friend's recording, because he prayed over my friend as well, I said, listen, you need to know that I am in the middle of a transition and I'm very conflicted and I'm actually leaning towards staying where I am. And he said, don't. Like, this is of the Lord. And then he went on and he continued praying. And I need you to know, I walked out of that room and I looked at the guy that I was with and I said, that was what I needed. I needed that kind of clarity to hear from the Lord. We had a tea time schedule. We were supposed to go golfing. I almost canceled because I was just so shook. But we didn't want to let the people down that we were going with. And at one point, this is like later in that day, I was sitting in the golf cart waiting for my friend to come back. And I'm crying. Like, I'm in Florida. The sun is out. It is beautiful. I'm golfing. And I'm literally just like in the golf cart. And I was just crying because I felt known and heard by God. It was like God revealed himself in such a profound way. And it was just, it shook me. I called Vicky later that night. I couldn't hardly talk. I was trying to FaceTime her. And I had to turn the phone away because I was just so like, and she was laughing because she's like, I've never seen you this emotional. Like, I've never seen you this rock. But it was like, more than just God answering what we were asking him for regarding clarity, it was like one of those moments where it dropped from my head to my heart that God actually loves me and that God actually responds to prayer, right? Like, it was one of those moments where, like, wow, God actually speaks to us today. And telling you this story, this is not a formula for how God speaks every time. I'm just telling you what happened to us. And so coming out of that trip, I just had this real sense of peace. And it was 2 weeks after that trip that I actually went to Halifax, which is 2 weeks ago today, to preach at the church there. And the way it works in the Wesleyan Church is the board gives their full recommendation, and then the pastor preaches, and the people get to vote. And so I just went in, when I went into Halifax, I didn't feel any pressure to impress anybody. I didn't feel like I had to put anything on. I was like, well, if this is God, then it's going to go through and everything's going to go really, really well. If it's not, then I'll be super confused and I'll have to figure that out afterwards, right? I don't know what this will be. So we went there and we get a 97% vote, which is the exact number that I prayed for. I've never experienced anything like this. I don't know what to look for. And so I was like, Lord, I just pray that you'd give a 97% vote. That was the number. And when they called back and said that it was a 97, I was like, my goodness, of course it was. Like, it was just one of those moments where I'm like, I feel like the Lord has made it really clear. And it was really significant for us. So here's what I want to just say, as maybe these are some of the things that are on your mind, but you might ask, like, so are you super excited? Is your family super excited? I don't know. In some ways, like, I'm excited because God has made some things clear, and so I'm really excited about that. I love following his lead. But when I think about here, when I think about Transformation Church, like, I love this church. This July, it'll be 7 years ago that we moved here, coming in July. We've seen God do some incredible things with Transformation Church. What do I think regarding the future of Transformation Church? I'm really hopeful. You know, I believe with all my heart that God has an incredible plan for this church. We knew that we knew this decision last Sunday, but it was Easter Sunday, and it was so fitting because it felt so inappropriate to even think about making an announcement like this over Easter, because all I could think about was Easter is the most important announcement you ever make as a Jesus follower. And so we were here, you know, together on Good Friday and then Easter Sunday morning, and I had this in my heart and couldn't share it, but it almost felt even more fitting because I was like, it's not about me. It's not even about us as we think about the future of TC. Like, it's really the reason we gather is because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Like, what we do in this life and how we gather and how we, you know, formulate a church and come together to worship, like, doesn't revolve around specific people. It revolves around Jesus. And so that was really significant. You know, the other significant thing for me, every year, you may not know this, but in the fall, I always plan out our whole year of sermon series. And this fall was too crazy and hectic. I couldn't get away. And so I had the plan to do spiritual formation series, which brought us to Easter. And we were sometime in March or February, March, when I looked ahead at the date and I realized I don't have a plan for the next sermon series after Easter. Like, this Sunday, right now, me speaking to you right now, is the first time since we launched TC that I haven't had sermon series for the whole year. And when I realized that a couple months ago, I was like, of course that would land on the day that the announcement is supposed to be made. Like, it just hit me that I was like, I know that the Lord is in this. He's given us enough green lights and affirmations, but that doesn't take away from the fact that there are unanswered questions. Like, for me at least, I can share with you that I have a peace about it, that I have a confidence about what God's doing, I have a confidence about where he's leading, but that doesn't take away from the reality that there are unanswered questions. Like, that our family has wept over this. I remember when we got together with our staff to talk about this, like, we were in tears. Like, it's tough to think about what this means for us relationally, and some of those questions are unanswered, and Vicky and I are, and the family are here till July, and we don't have any intentions of pulling back in any way. We love this church. We are hopeful for the future of what God is doing at Transformation Church. We're hopeful that God is going to make clear who the next leader is. We're hopeful of all of those things, and I just want to say to you that I'm willing to have whatever conversations need to be had. Even if there's a question, maybe you're hearing this and you're like, yeah, but there must be a real reason that you're leaving. There must be something that you're you know, not happy about, or maybe it looks better in Halifax, or all those things. If you want to have those conversations, I'm willing to have that conversation. I just want to say there's nothing to hide in this. We've truly sought the Lord, and we've truly had a sense of peace from him regarding this decision. And it's important that you know that. And it's also important that you know my prayer for our church is that God will continue to do in our midst what he has begun. You know, there's a verse in the scriptures that talk about when God begins a good work, he sees it all the way through to completion. We usually think about that in terms of his work in our lives as his followers. But I believe that's also the case for us collectively. God has begun something good here, and I believe it will continue, and that he's up to some incredible things, and he doesn't plan on stopping. And so I encourage you, even in this next season, to be prayerful leading up to what the next steps are. I want to reread a couple verses from what we read in John chapter 1. Jesus says this to Nathanael, and I believe it's so relevant to us today in light of what we're talking about. But in verse 50 and 51, Jesus asked Nathanael, he says, "Do you believe this just because I told you I saw you under the fig tree?" Now listen to what he says. He says, "You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "I tell you the truth, you will all see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth." It is so significant that Jesus has this encounter with Nathanael, and Nathanael goes, "You're it. I've seen you. I trust you." And Jesus says, "You're impressed because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You're impressed because you had this encounter with me? You haven't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come." And I believe that that is the case for us as followers of Jesus and as Transformation Church. I think that a part of what we might feel in light of this announcement is like, well, we've seen God do some really great things. Like, you know, and it'd be tempting to kind of live in the past and to think, oh, things aren't going to be as good moving into the future. But I believe as we trust Jesus, Jesus' words to Nathanael are so relevant to us, where he says, greater things are yet to come. Like, the focus of the church is Jesus, and it is what he's doing, and it is what he's up to. And so I just encourage you in this next season, I don't want to shy away from conversations or difficult conversations or questions. We are going to make time for that. We have a meeting coming up, and if people have specific questions, then we want you to have the freedom to ask them. And so we're not trying to sweep any of those things under the rug or to try to make it sound like things are easier than they are, because there is a challenge. But I also want to say publicly to all of us that when God makes something clear, you can trust the outcome, even if you don't understand all of what it's going to mean or what it's going to look like. We can trust his leading and his guiding. And so in this season, I just want to encourage us as a congregation to really trust him as he leads us and as he helps us to take next steps. And so I'm going to invite Josh to come up and the board. And we're just going to, Josh has something to read on behalf of the board and also the staff team who's here. And we're going to have a little time for prayer. So I think we're Randy and Jeremy and if Jeremy was here, he went to get down to get Jenny, so. Yeah. You can just.
Hello.
Oh, it's on. Perfect. Do we want to wait for Jenny? Awkwardly.
I have had that lately.
Well, anyways, we'll wait for them to come up to really get going. But for those of you who don't know me, my name's Josh. I am a member of the board along with Gary, Aylin, and Patty. And then we'll have like the other staff members here at TC come up. So Jeremy's coming, Jenny's coming, Justin. We have Jean and Randy. We, in light of just this announcement, we really just wanted to have sort of like a united message and just shed some light on kind of what's going to happen over the next little while. Is Jenny coming? Okay.
So we, what I mentioned too, I'll just say this now while we're kind of waiting for it, but we have a meeting coming up. So every year in the spring, we always gather together as members, and non-members are invited too to vote on the budget and new board members and things like that. And so we're going to have an opportunity for a question and answer at that time. And so just as you're thinking and praying and pondering, we do want to welcome some feedback. And if you have questions, that those will be welcome. But our team is just, it's hopeful. We talked about it on our last meeting this Tuesday about this decision. But it was kind of interesting because we had, Vicky and I had to make this announcement on Tuesday with our team. But we also had a scheduled meeting about some things regarding the future of TC. And we, because somebody was involved in that, we had to Zoom them in. We couldn't cancel it in light of the announcement that we were making. And it felt very fitting for me because it felt like, yes, this is a hard time. This is a sad time. But as far as TC is concerned, TC is moving forward in a healthy way. And we just want to say that publicly, that there is real hope and anticipation for the future and for the future of TC. And so as we kind of process this and think about it, just keep that in your heart and keep that in your mind. And people have voiced to me even recently that they've just really found a home here. And I believe that that's because of what Jesus is doing. And I believe that that will continue. And I encourage you to lean into that, especially in these months and these days to come. I think it's important to lean into that. So, yeah, you guys can come on up, Vicky and Jenny.
All right. I'm not as good as a speaker as Nathan, so I have my notes. So, but yeah, again, we all just want to kind of just unite as a message. And first of all, the very first thing we want to say is that we just want to voice our affirmation of God's call for your life, for your family's life. We do believe that God is calling you to the East Coast. And we desire as a board, as a staff, to send them in love and in joy. This church began when God clearly called you and affirmed you to move to Thunder Bay in a dream. A story which you've shared before. And now God is calling you back to the East Coast. No matter how sad or difficult that transition may be, it is a wonderful thing to obey the will of God. And as a faith community for transformation, it is important to encourage one another, and starting with Nathan and Vicky and family, to follow the will of God. That being said, we are sad that Nathan, you are leaving, your family's leaving. The Masqueries have been an integral part of our community for the last 7 years, and missing each and every one of them leaves a gap in different areas of our church, in our community, and even at schools for the kids. It really is exciting that God is calling them to something new, but it's real and it's okay to feel this loss of our leader and our friends. We shouldn't run from all the emotions that come with it within this time of transition. As I was thinking about this, it just made me think of the sermon series of King David, and often David's psalms start with lament and sadness, even despair or anger. But the psalms do not end there, and our story does not end here at TC. The psalms, they end in thanksgiving, petition to God, or in joy. And we, as Nathan kind of said, we can rejoice knowing that God will lead and guide us as a church. And we all very much believe that. God is good. All the time. Now, practically, what does this next season look like? I know you're probably wondering, well, if Nathan leaves, who's going to replace him? We don't know that yet. Or potentially, even more frightening, if Andrew leaves, If Malachi leaves, if Esther leaves, if Vicky leaves, will I have to volunteer to do the slides? Or a kidsman? Who's going to mow the lawn? Well, I have good news and good news. Probably we will need volunteers, but not until July. Between now and then, we are meeting as a board, as a staff, to begin the search for a new lead pastor. The district superintendent of the Wesleyan denomination, Eric, he's come here before. He'll be coming on April 17th, and so we'll be meeting with him as a board. He'll be meeting with the staff. We'll be developing a team to search for a new lead pastor. So that's coming up very shortly. It's possible we might have someone before Nathan even leaves, but in July, it's very possible that we will not have a pastor by July, and we'll just kind of take that as it comes. Another thing that will be happening, Nathan kind of mentioned it, is that we are going to have a time of encouragement and celebration for Nathan and his family. We want to just remember the years, remember all that God has done, and use that time to just send them away and encourage them in this new step of life. Because God really has worked in this place in the last 7 years. We don't have all the details about what that would look like, but that will be coming. Lastly, we want to share our confidence that through this time of transition, we do believe that God is still moving powerfully in our community. We've said it before, and we're just going to say it again. He's moving this community. He's moving in Thunder Bay. He has a plan for Transformation Church, and we are all very thankful for what he's done this far, and we're really looking forward to where he will lead us. That's pretty much it. We do have a potluck now. We are celebrating the adoption of Henry, and Gary's just going to lead us in a time of prayer before we release to that.
Well, I can add one thing. I think that the Maskeries aren't leaving till July, so there is time for Andrew. You can touch a fish before you go and be happy with it. So today is a day of celebration. We are celebrating Henry and his adoption into the Maskery family. You know, that is wonderful, and your family has grown again. So I think there was a slide that was supposed to be put up here. There it is. We're going to be celebrating Henry today. But also, I would like to pray as well for direction for our board and the leadership team here. So let's bow our heads. Father God, we know that this is not the end of the vision for transformation. But we're excited, Lord, to bring your vision into fruition. Because as Nathan has preached, greater things are available to Transformation Church. And Father God, we look for that. So through this process, Lord God, I pray that you would give us clarity, that you would give us discernment and wisdom as other people candidate for the pastorship here at Transformation, Lord God. And we know, Lord God, that you are at work and that you have greater things for Transformation. So, Father God, we wait for that. And, Lord, we also celebrate Henry today and his adoption, Lord God. And we thank you for that and the blessings that the Maskery family have been to this congregation, to everyone here. So, Father God, as we celebrate with a potluck, I would like to ask your blessings upon this meal. And we ask that you would bless this food that many hands have prepared, and we bless it for our body's use, and bless the Maskeries today. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
The team's going to come up. We have one more song that we're gonna sing before we go downstairs, so the team can come up for that. And Jeremy, should we be up here dancing while they're singing in light of your celebration sermon? Or yeah. Matthew requested too. So Matthew and Alyssa have put a lot of work into the potluck, and so.